them that devise iniquity and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. They covet fields, they take them by violence, and houses, and take them away. So they oppress a man and his house, even a man and his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, or the Lord, behold, against this family do I devise an evil, from which ye shall not remove your necks, neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. In that day shall one take up a parable against you, and lament with a doleful lamentation, and say, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. How he hath removed it from me. Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore, thou shalt have none. Thou shalt cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Even of late my people is risen up as an enemy. Ye pull off the robe with the garment from them that pass by securely as men averse from war. The woman of my people have ye cast out from their pleasant houses. From their children have ye taken away my glory forever. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. If a man walking in the spirit and falsehood do lie, saying, I will prophesy unto thee of wine and of strong drink, he shall even be the prophet of this people. I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. The breaker is come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate, and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them, and the Lord on the head of them. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for your word. Thank you for the truth that we have, Lord, before us today. And certainly we look to you, Lord, for leadership this morning. Father, help us to see what you have for us. Lord, we know that all scripture is profitable for instruction, for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction in righteousness and for correction. And so, Father, today help us to receive something from the Sunday school hour, especially from the morning service as we look at the church covenant. And Father, we just pray for your leadership in our lives and through the Holy Spirit. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, how he speaks to us and how he teaches us. And Father, help us just to be submitted to your will today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah, it was a good day on visitation. We didn't get too far with Brother West for more than one reason. But we won't tell you, we won't confess all those reasons. But we did finally make it to the first door. Eventually. And then God worked. Amen. I met a man by the name of Ramiro, and his daughter works over here. And at the cleaners, yeah, Summer Creek here, the Wees. And so we thank the Lord for these. And he was just at the door. He was able to speak to us in Spanish, of course. Praise the Lord. Brother West was speaking in tongues. Amen. Amen. So, but anyway, after a very good presentation of the gospel and everything. I think he's close, you know, but I have to drop off a Spanish Bible study, and maybe God has something, you know. His daughter works here. It's not the daughter that I did remember that his daughter started working here recently, because I noticed the car, and that's just been with the last couple weeks. I've never met her. I think she works in the back. There's another young lady who speaks Spanish up front. That's not the one. I was trying to put that connection. I finally figured it out in the afternoon. But so I haven't really met the daughter over here. I just saw her car and them going in and out. So anyway, the Lord knows. And then we had a second conversation. Amen. And Betcha? Betcha. Huh? Betcha and Junior. So they are neighbors there. And he just, I believe, saved already and had a good testimony and kind of excited. He's like, you just put me down for number five. You see how this is going? Because five is like, yeah, I absolutely believe this. I absolutely, you know. And then we got into the questions about salvation, of course, and he did answer that he received the Lord. So we thank the Lord for that. But they were just so kind and so open. I was impressed. You know, we only got four or five houses down the street, and that's for other reasons, too. We will not let you know why we couldn't keep going. Oh, my, what a day. But we made it. Amen. I blame it on Brother Wes, right? Amen. Can't be because of me. Can't be because of my age and my lack of preparation and thoughtfulness. Amen. No, it was good. So I hope the rest of you that were out had some good visits. I know Jed was sharing Joshua being able to also open the scriptures and share with someone yesterday. So, excuse me? Anthony. He was more opposed, right? Like, felt like he had his own belief.
He had Bible beliefs, the New Age, science, all over the
place. But you left him the word, right? Amen. That's all we can do.
He was very hopeful.
Well, praise the Lord. God is working. So, your prayers, don't forget, as I mentioned, I know Saturday's busy, this and that, but wherever you're at, pray. You know, pray for God during that hour, and God will work. God's at work, and as we sung this morning, we are going to reap. That's just the nature of sowing is reaping. But you reap later than when you sow. You don't know when the harvest is coming in, amen? Maybe it'll be in heaven. I don't know. Maybe we'll have to wait to heaven and just keep going by faith. And when we get there, we'll be like, yeah, you remember you came by my house, you know, back in 2022, and it's already, you know, 1,000 years into eternity, you know? Yeah, I remember, amen, praise God, you got saved. And they'll probably be, you'll probably be talking like that forever and ever in heaven. You know, it's all going to be connected. God's family and how he works and how he saves souls. And we're just going to marvel at that. But I think it'll be on this side too. Amen. In my experience, souls will get saved and you'll see that. And God will encourage us by seeing fruit as well. So let's get into our Bible study this morning. Remember, we're talking about the first message in chapter 1. This is the message partly into chapter 2 is this message of divine judgment. It's coming on Judah, the southern kingdom, and Samaria, Jerusalem representing Judah, Samaria representing Israel, the northern kingdom. Remember, the message was fulfilled in 722 B.C., when Assyria defeated Israel. Then in 606 to 586, because there were several deportations, that's when the Babylonians invaded Judah and destroyed Jerusalem and the temple. and took thousands of people captive to Babylon. When the prophet Amos was about to indict Israel and Judah, he started by condemning the Gentile nations around them. Remember, we studied that in Amos. But Micah, the prophet, didn't take that approach. Without any formal introduction, he moved right into his message and sounded the alarm. So in the present scripture, we see the sins of the people that totally have corrupted their land, Israel and Judah, the northern and southern kingdoms. And God's judgment is going to be brought down upon them because of their sin. Still, despite the people's gross offenses, God offers them hope for the future through the prophet. Isn't that amazing? Well, you see, there's a remnant, okay? He promises the remnant there in verse 12. So we'll get to that later in our message. Number one, the sins of the people. In Micah's day, much like our day, society had become extremely corrupt. Both the leaders and the citizens were guilty of allowing lawlessness, violence, oppression, injustice to run rampant throughout the nation, throughout these nations. So, listen, I know, let's not think, oh, what we're seeing never happened before. Yes, it did. Just think about Genesis 6 and before the flood. It all happened. All this wickedness happened that we're seeing today. It happened before. Because that's the nature of man, the nature of man's sin. So there's six particular sins mentioned here. Six of them. We're going to look at them. Letter A, the people were guilty of planning evil. Isn't that sad? You have to like meditate on, hey, how am I going to get over on this person or that person tomorrow? How am I going to trick them and deceive them and make all this money? And they're laying in their beds. That's what it says in verse 1. Woe to them that devise iniquity. They work evil upon their beds. Here they are planning the night before. Here's what I'm going to do tomorrow. I can't wait. Isn't that sad? So a lot of this does apply to the wealthy and the powerful. They were consumed with fulfilling the desires of their hearts, regardless of what they had to do to accomplish it. And that's sad, isn't it? I mean, people just lie outright. You know they're lying. And they just keep lying. It's like, I'm talking about TV and the politicians, right? They're lying and they're lying and they just lie anyway. And you're like, really? You think we're that stupid that we don't see that you're lying, outright lying? But while they're in bed, you know, while they're in bed, they're just thinking, hey, I'm going to scheme this. How am I going to take this property away? You know, thank God, I kind of felt like in our experience here with this property, the developer, I just didn't have peace. This guy and his lawyer, really, like, they're just like chipping away at this deal that we had with them. And you're like, this isn't right. This just isn't right. And at the end of the day, I'm glad the door was shut, because I think they just wanted to kind of whittle us down to nothing and have all this extension where, you know, they can come back to us and sue us for this and that. And at the end of the day, we'll be owing them money and they still have our property. Isn't that, all right. I don't have that. That didn't happen. But let me tell you, it didn't look good. That's just the way I'm seeing things. So if I'm wrong, the Lord knows. If I'm right, the Lord knows. I can be wrong, but it didn't look good to me. We have to be careful, amen? And people are out there to take you, and we know that. I think of one time we were you know, one of the difficult things coming back to America with our children, and then we had church vehicles that we drove, my wife and I, that were 25 and up. So our kids couldn't drive any church vehicles that the church lent us while we're home on deputation. So we always had to buy a car when they were like 16. They had to start driving. And man, trying to go out and find a used car at $1,500, you know, or $2,000. That's all we wanted to put into it. Because we were going to have to say, okay, well, after a year, well, you know, sell it or give it away or whatever. So we didn't want to invest all this money in a car. But man, thankfully I had a good mechanic. One of them was Sam Hammett. Samuel is Brother Doug Hammett's youngest son. So he'd go with us and he'd do all, he'd be checking the engine and the compression and this and that. He's like, don't buy that. He'd say right in front of the guys, like, and then, you know, this guy's like, no, it's not like that. He says, yes, it is. He's like, look. And then he's just proving, you know, it's blowing oil out, you know. It's like, and the guy's like, no, he's all mad, you know, because he's just calling him out, you know, for being a thief. And it was, I was just sitting back laughing, you know, I'm like, really, this guy? So we just drove away, amen. So you'll find him everywhere, amen. Be careful. Be careful. And that's what's going on here. And these people, they didn't care who owned it. You know, if they wanted something, they took it. And it didn't matter the consequences that others suffered, right? They didn't want to suffer, but they didn't care what everyone else suffered. They retired at night. And you know what you should do at night? Instead of scheming for the next day, you should be meditating on the Lord. Amen. Praying and reading the Word of God and having your mind rest in Him. And think about the joyful experiences that you had because God blessed you in that day. And just go to sleep in peace. I mean, praise God and pray, you know. That's what we should be doing instead of worrying about everything. And sometimes maybe we're guilty of planning the next day, pre-planning our worries, right? Well, you know. And we need to get our thoughts on the Lord. And in Him is perfect peace. That's what the Bible says. Our thoughts stayed on Him is perfect peace. Our prayers, we exchange anxiety for peace in prayer. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. So here they are. You know, when you think of verse 1, they're exposing, they're self-centered and covetous and conniving nature. So they lay, planning, devising how to best achieve their objectives the next day. And as soon as the morning came, look what it says. Woe to them that devise iniquity, verse 1, and work evil upon their beds. When the morning is light, they practice it. It's like they get up, all right, let's go. Let's get this done. Because it is in the power of their hand. So, do you see this? Planning evil? There's people like that today, still doing it. Letter B. They were not only guilty of planning evil, letter B, the people were guilty of covetousness and stealing. Covetousness and stealing. There's two there, kind of related, but look at it. Verse 2, and they covet fields taken by violence and houses, and they take them away, so they oppress a man in his house, even a man in his heritage. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, behold, against his family do I devise an evil, from which he shall not remove your necks, neither shall you go haughtily, for this time is evil. And continue, we'll go to verse 5 here. In that day, one take up a parable against you and lament with a doleful lamentation, saying, we be utterly spoiled. He hath changed the portion of my people. how he hath removed it from me. Turning away, he hath divided our fields. Therefore thou shalt have none that shall cast a cord by lot in the congregation of the Lord. So this is a spirit of greed. A spirit of greed gripping the hearts of both the rich and poor within society. The wealthy coveted more and more of everything. The poor coveted wealth. You know, by the way, you go to poor countries and some people are content in poor countries. And some people have the sin of covetousness because they don't have it. So don't think that poor people don't have the sin of covetousness. They think about wealth all the time. They think about how they can get wealth and why you shouldn't have it. And they're bitter and angry at people who have some wealth. Anyway, just want you to know, don't think that the poor never have the sin of covetousness. They do. So the rich and the poor covet wealth, possessions, and positions. But since it was the wealthy who actually held the power, isn't that how it is? So yes, the poor don't have it, they covet it, but they don't have the power to oppress others. You know, they don't have that wealth and that power. That's sad. And I understand it's sad in a sense, even if they could do a good thing, they're held down. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there may be some good desires to lift yourself up out of poverty and, you know, and do something good. But unfortunately, as we see the wheels turn and grind in our country, it's getting difficult. Getting difficult in that area. So we have even the powerful in government were seizing property of the poor. Politicians, rulers, judges, land bearers, merchants, business leaders. They didn't care. And so it became an oppressive society. And sadly, can you imagine? They even started taking advantage of the widows and the orphans. They even stole their land. So do you see covetousness and thievery had eaten away at the souls of the people? And so much of the society became a cesspool of moral corruption. Number two, the Lord was left with no choice. Did they leave him with a choice? He's a God of justice. Amen. And so he was forced to pronounce a fourfold judgment on the covetousness, the covetous, and the thieves. What was it? First, they would face an inescapable disaster, verse 3. Behold, against this family do I devise evil. See that? So God is going to stand against these people. We have to be careful. We're on the side of the Lord. Amen. Remain on his side. And be careful, you know, in our dealings with others. And because God's going to carry out true justice. That's his nature. And he wants his people. Like, can you imagine? This is supposed to be his nation, his people. You know, he saved them. He brought them out of Egypt. He gave them his name and put his glory there, and look at what they're doing. So God says, no, you're not going to get away with this. I'm going to judge you. And he's going to say, no one's going to escape here. From which ye shall not remove your necks. Neither shall ye go haughtily, for this time is evil. You're not going to escape my judgment. I am going to judge you. And their power, their wealth, could not save them in the day of God's judgment. Amen. You're not going to buy yourself out of God's judgment. You know, you're not going to pay enough lawyers to say, hey, get me off the hook. Not at the great, there's not going to be any lawyer standing at the great white throne judgment. And if you don't have Jesus as your advocate, as your lawyer, forget it. You lost. Amen. You only need one, Jesus Christ. He's our advocate. So they would not only have this inescapable disaster, but B, secondly, they would be humbled by the calamity. They're going to be humbled, meaning they're not going to go haughtily. It's going to bring them down. They're going to feel that. They think, you know, because of their wealth, their power, their positions, their influence, they're full of pride. But then they're going to be like, oh, this hurts. And they're going to have to bow their heads with shame. They're going to be debased and humiliated by God's judgment. And then, verse 4, they would be ridiculed and mocked by others. Isn't that what's sad? You know, I think that's what's sad about, because living outside of America, you know, we always had to hear this. I mean, all the way back in 1993, when we first went to Chile, it's like people were always railing against the U.S. for one thing or the other. And sometimes we just had to hang our head and say, yeah, you're right. What they were saying was true, unfortunately. And that's the way it is. You know, when you have sin in your nation, when you have sin in the leadership and the rulers and corruption, people around the world take notice of that. We were supposed to be a city set on a hill, you know, be a light. And so everyone's looking to us. And that's what he means here. They knew what Israel professed, who their God was. They knew Judah and Jerusalem, and they knew about the kings and King Solomon and David, and they knew the history of these other nations, knew this. And so when this all happens, what does it say in verse 4? In that day shall one take up a parable against you. You know, they're going to mock you. And the parable is going to be this. Look, you thought you got away with this, and you thought you were powerful, and you thought you owned everything, and now we own you, and we own your stuff. Ha, ha, ha. I think some nations are working behind the scenes trying to get to that place in America, right? Did you ever fear, and I know I'm saying it like, let's put it this way, in a spiritual way. Did you ever think, you know, did you ever have this thought that when, if the dollar is changed, the currency, and you lose all buying power like that? What are you going to do? Did you ever think, though, that it can happen? You don't think it's going to happen? You don't think it can happen, brother? I think you better start thinking that way. It may not happen in your lifetime, but it may happen in the lifetime of some here. No, I know. That is true. I mean, we thought.
But there was such a comfort of living in America. It was a default feeling. It was a default feeling because we were safe.
Right.
That's gone.
Right.
It's a hard way to.
Well, let's put it this way. They're trying. There are evil countries and plans out there to try to bring down America, right? So part of bringing down America would be attacking our currency. And if they could destroy our currency, our buying power, then who are we? It's like, listen, other countries, let me tell you, it's real. Like you heard about the run. Zimbabwe is close to Botswana, so I mean, literally, we'd go up there, and these guys, I mean, this is after it all happened. They actually had, their inflation went so high, like, they probably, you know, would have Zim dollars, like, you know, 1-to-1, or, you know, 1-to-4, or 1-to-8 of American dollars. And then all of a sudden, they have, like, $100 million bills. I'm serious. $100 million and $1 trillion, $1 billion. And they're like, hey, look, you know, they got these bills that just play money, you know, but they're like $100 million and $2 billion. Hey, look, buy this, you know? And I'm like, no, sorry. I knew everything that happened. It's like, that is worthless to me. Why am I going to buy that? That's never going to be worth anything. And so that's the point I'm trying to make. Argentina happened the same thing. And a lot of these countries then, they did go to the world reserve currency, which is the dollar. So then they started saying, well, no, now you can trade in dollars. And then in Zimbabwe, unfortunately, that fell through because they were the rich. I just have to tell you this because it's real and it's close to me and I know and I have friends there and brethren. But so the rich then started stealing all the dollars out of the country, you know, sending them to offshore accounts, all the leaders. So there wasn't enough dollars going around. I mean, you'd be going up to in Zimbabwe. Remember, dear, do you remember? And you'd be seeing like a dollar bill, man. It was just like, so it would be like, you know, 100 years old, and it was just laying in the street for 100 years. You know, you'd be looking at this. And that's how wore out the U.S. currency was up there that was circulating. It was like, then they printed in Zimbabwe, just so you know, they have, I'm trying to think of the bonds. They're called bonds. And literally, this is money that is not even recognized by other countries. So it's currency that they can only use among themselves. So, you see what I'm getting at? I mean, it went from inflation to our money is worth nothing. We better use this currency. We can't sustain that. Let's just print this funny money now and trade with this. And then they forced everyone to do that because they wouldn't. They forced the whole population to take this fake currency. Because that's all that went in circulation. It's all you could find any. And then they started putting it in your bank account. And they made it so that's what you have to trade in. But then when you go across the border, you have no buying power. You have to kind of find. There's still a black market. There's still dollars to be had. And go to this country, bring that currency, South Africa, Botswana, you know, work in that. And there's still that going on, don't get me wrong, but it's crazy. Argentina went to the same thing. They went to the U.S. dollar, and then they, for a while, and then they went back. And then now, with all this inflation, now they're trying to be on the dollar again. Woo. It's hard to keep up with it. And that's only countries I know. You know, and my knowledge is limited in my experience. So think about the whole world and all the other countries and what's going on. Maybe Sister Irene can tell about the film. Go around and you hear what people, like, what they're following. And why do these churches have 25,000 members? Why can't we have 250? You know, why do they have to have 25,000? They're false prophets. Right. And that's where it came here. The majority only wanted false prophets. They didn't want the true prophets. Brethren, this is real. This happened. Verses 6 and 7. Prophesy ye not. Say they to them that prophesy, they shall not prophesy to them, that they shall not take shame. O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? So these false prophets preached only half-truths, messages that assured God's people of God's peace, security, protection, and prosperity. Isn't that how things get done now in our country? They get up and say, "This is good. Look at our success. Inflation Reduction Act." They can say that a million times, but it doesn't reduce inflation. "But you ought to trust us. We made these great, you know, advances in our country, and we're taking care of you. Trust us." And people, brethren, let's admit it, fit over 50% of the country believe it. And we'll vote for it tomorrow. They're the majority, we're the minority. Except for God's mercy and His intervention in holding back this evil, we're not going to be going down a good path. And then it has more of a snowball effect. So let's kind of prepare ourselves spiritually, amen? Because I think at the end of the day, what we have spiritually is a great treasure. And then we may realize, man, I have a blessing. Yeah, I have nothing else, but I have a blessing, amen? Let me share it with you. And we may say, boy, I'm satisfied with what I have. Amen. Praise God for that. Brethren, I don't know. I you read the same Bible I do. You hear the same news I do. So I'm not telling you anything you probably haven't thought about already, or you should be thinking about anyway, and do your best to plan for. But let me tell you, the only way to plan is spiritually. I mean, let me just say this. You can't buy enough bullets. You're not going to shoot your way out of this. And secondly, you're not going to have enough food. I understand. I'm not saying, okay, don't be wise and buy for 3 to 6 months. You know, or have some food storage. I'm not saying that. But it's not going to be forever. You just can't. You're not going to be able to sustain it. We're going to need God. Amen. And I am Second Amendment. I'm still, you know, I have food storage, you know, and I do some things. But I'm just saying the reality of it is you're not going to buy enough. Hey, the IRS already has more bullets than you. They're spending our tax money real good. Now they're going to have double the 87,000 more agents and 87,000 more guns. With millions and millions of more ammunition. Oh, you mean you're coming for my taxes with all that? What, are you going to come into my house with a tank or what? I don't have that much money or gold or silver or bullets, you know? Anyway, why do you need all that? I don't know. I'm asking the same questions you are, amen? Let's get back to the Bible. Praise God. Let's get back to the Bible. Verses 6 and 7. "And as long as the people professed to know the Lord, brethren, and were faithful in their religious services and giving, they were assured of God's blessing." That's what the people were telling them. Like, "You're religious. You're a Christian, you know God, so it's going to be okay." That's what the false prophets were saying, brethren. Because God was saying, "Judgment's coming." No, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear how blessed we are. Tell us the good things. and have a million-dollar smile when you're doing it. Amen. Well, I never worked on my teeth, so I don't have a million-dollar smile. So I guess I won't be going down that path of preaching. Amen. Won't get me too far. So this is the message. And I can imagine, can you know, you're sitting there, you're like, could you imagine the real children of God in this time? Like Micah and you know, everyone wasn't lost. So there were real people of God. There was a remnant, and they're like, really? They're saying all this and God's saying this? And why are they saying this when the Word of God says this? Don't they know the Word of God? So there had to be some frustration and some really, you know, burdens, and people were suffering back then. And it got to the place that the good preachers were persecuted for telling the truth. And so, you know, when the government gets their hands into the church, that's what makes us a unique nation, by the way. In Botswana, I think I told you this, because we had to make a church constitution, so I made it all biblical verses, just like America. You know, like, here's what we do, and this is why we do it. Here's our beliefs. Here's our church covenant. Here's all the Bible. I sent it to the government. They're like, oh, you can't do that. Why? Because that's your interpretation of the Bible. Okay, I'll clean it up. You know, I'll make it less verses. You know, send it back. No, still not good. Here, take ours and then adapt it. So I took theirs and I adapted it. And I made it look like, you know, biblical and government. They're like, no, can't do that. So in the end, we had to say, okay, brethren, as a church, this document here is for the government, but this is our governing document as a church. Let's vote on it. Amen. We govern ourselves by this. We send this to the government because we can't abide by this. Because it was all like, there's like a parliament like England. So there's all these leaders in parliament that are denominational leaders, and they're the ones drawing up these paperworks. Like, you have to be just like a denomination like them and have all these, you know, synods and, you know, hierarchies and popes and, you know, all this stuff. And you're like, we can't do that. We're a local church. We're Baptist, you know. It's like, anyway, we got it done by the hand of God. Amen. So it was a blessing. Anyway, at the end of the day, brethren, I'm looking at this and saying, when the government steps in, what are the preachers going to do? And I hope I stand. And if, with your prayers and your support, we will stand. Even when they come in and say, don't preach that anymore, brethren, we're going to have to make some decisions to suffer and be persecuted. What else can we do? The true prophets of God were always persecuted. And true preachers in America, I think, don't think that our Baptist forefathers, they were whipped and beaten and burned at the stake too in America. Isn't that sad? At the hands of denominational churches. That were state churches. Glad we don't have them anymore. I mean, you know, like, thank God for the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Amen. Change some things in our country. Every other country doesn't have that, brethren. There is no separation of church and state. That's what makes us a unique country. We really pray that the government doesn't get all their tentacles into the church and try to make us a state church to preach only what they authorize. Didn't that happen here in Houston with the mayor trying to get the preachers to send in their messages at one time? And she was going to let you know what you can preach. I could have just imagined Brother Reynolds at that time, boy. He was probably on fire. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you.